Welcome back. As you know, our colleague Marzieh Hashemi, who is an international journalist and a senior correspondent and news anchor here at Press TV with us, is currently being held in an FBI detention center in Washington. It is the ninth day that she is being kept without any charges against her. She has been in court twice ever since, and a third court hearing has been scheduled for January 23rd. Now, to discuss Marzieh's situation, we are joined by our guests here, political analysts that are joining us. Thank you very much, sir, for once again joining us on Press TV to discuss Marzieh's situation. First of all, we do understand that Marzieh has been sent to solitary confinement. Of course, the information that we get is very limited, and it is, of course, very difficult to it is very difficult to confirm what is happening to Marzieh and get actually correct information regarding Marzieh's situation. But if this is true, why would she be sent to solitary confinement? As far as we understand, solitary confinement is considered a punishment for a big crime. It is a punishment for people who have been misbehaving in jail. Why would Marzieh, who is simply a material witness and is being kept there as a material witness based on a court order, why would she be sent to solitary confinement?
Well, you have to look back at why she was arrested in the first place and the manner in which she was arrested. She was arrested supposedly not because she was accused of anything or even suspected of anything, but because supposedly she was a material witness for some sort of crime. But it's very unusual for a material witness to be seized in the way she was without warning and taken to confinement and detention in the way she was and to be held there. You have to get a court order for that. How could the attorney get a court order from the court saying that it's okay to do this with a witness who is not accused of anything? Well, the only way that I can think of is that they are concerned that if they simply issue a subpoena to her, she may communicate with other people, and they don't want that to happen. Now, by extension, perhaps that's the same reason that they're keeping her away from other prisoners and incommunicado. So when you say solitary confinement, it depends on what they mean. Yes, for prisoners, it's a punishment for it's a draconian measure for a so-called material witness. But if the objective is to prevent communication between her and essentially anyone else, that may be the justification that they're using. I might add that I myself was held in a similar situation for almost 2 weeks in Israel for supposedly the same reason.
Since you've had a similar experience, Mr. Paul LaRudy, former U.S. government advisor, I'm very sorry I did not have your name at the beginning of our discussion to introduce you to our audience. Now, Mr. LaRudy, you were in a similar situation, and as you mentioned yourself, it took 2 weeks. Can you tell us more about the experience that you had, and what was it like? Were you allowed to have an attorney? Did you show up in court?
I was allowed to have an attorney. I did go to court once for the hearing and the second time for the decision. And during the interim, I was held most of the time without communication with anyone else, except very occasionally. And And they didn't want me to have access to other people because they were afraid that I might make statements that could be reported in the press, which in fact is exactly what happened, because I did manage to get a message out.
And why were they afraid of that? What was so scary about the press knowing that you were being held, if they had good reasons, if it was based on good grounds, solid grounds, why would they be afraid that the press know about that?
Well, they didn't want to reveal the grounds, that's why. I mean, the closest thing to revealing what they had in mind was when they interviewed a spokesperson for the Interior Ministry. This was the Jerusalem Post newspaper that was interviewing this spokesperson. And the person, unidentified from the Interior Ministry, when they asked, why are you detaining this person? They responded, he's a danger to the state. So that's not much of an explanation, but I'm very pleased that I was a danger to the state from their point of view. But it doesn't really explain very much, does it?
But Mr. LaRudy, if you were a danger to the state, how come you were released after 2 weeks?
In order to be expelled. Only to be expelled from the country.
I see. So based on the experience that you had, what do you think that Marzia is experiencing right now? Because we're very concerned. It's very difficult to get information about her, where her whereabouts and her well-being. And this is a very big concern, both for her family and her relatives in the U.S. and for her co-workers here in Tehran?
Well, on the positive side, she apparently is finally getting consideration of her Muslim religion, in that she has been provided with proper Muslim garb to wear, and that she's been being provided with food that is appropriate for Muslims. That's not much, but it's something. And other than that, it's really just speculation that I can offer. I think that it has to do with them not wanting her to communicate with others, maybe specifically other persons, but I wouldn't know which persons they are. I know that her son Hussein is scheduled to testify also on the 23rd, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But they're not saying very much, and they're prohibiting the family from saying anything as well.
Very true. I would like to also invite Edward Corrigan, international lawyer, joining us live from Ontario, to join this discussion. Mr. Corrigan, as a lawyer, what are the grounds for holding Marzia in solitary confinement, especially considering the court order that was issued 3 days ago, in which it clearly stipulated that Marzia is being held as a material witness and that she has been cooperating with the judicial process?
Well, in my opinion, it's a violation of the law against a cruel and unusual punishment. Holding somebody in solitary confinement means that they're a risk to the other people in the detention facility, which I think is clearly not the case here. And it's also a way of punishing somebody if they have done something like, you know, violently attacking other people or doing something that is you know, a serious breach of the rules of the facility. And to me, this is clearly constitutes cruel and unusual punishment, which of course is a violation of the Bill of Rights of the United States. She is an American citizen. She is entitled to all the rights of an American citizen, but so would a permanent resident, or quite frankly, even a visitor or somebody else who is in the States. They're all protected by the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, which is known as the Bill of Rights. You have other guarantees in the Bill of Rights that include freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of assembly, and also petition. So you can, her religious rights were definitely trampled upon when she was initially detained. She was not allowed to speak to counsel, which is a violation of the Fifth Amendment. for days, and she wasn't even allowed to talk to her family. And they held her, I think, for almost 5 days before it went to court, before a federal court judge. And this is, I believe, the first time that this procedure has ever been used for a federal court matter. It's the first time this year that this procedure has been chosen. It's a very, very rare procedure. In many cases, the people who are detained, it's usually involved with criminality or that they're going to, you know, afraid that they're going to leave the country and not be able to provide critical evidence to a criminal prosecution or possibly a civil trial. We have mechanisms in Canada and in the British common law system, the same where we can seize assets and stuff without notice the other if there's a real risk that they'll disappear. But this is a human being, human rights, an American citizen. So there's also a constitutional protection against an illegal search and seizure. She has been seized, she's been searched, her clothing was taken off, she was put in handcuffs and shackles, for Pete's sake, again, which I would say is cruel and unusual punishment, and also utterly, totally unnecessary, because she's a 59-year-old grandmother who is no threat to anybody. She also has the right to a speedy trial by jury, witnesses, and the right to counsel. This was denied to her for the first 5 days, and then the court has appointed a counsel for her. But again, there's no information as to what the proceedings are about, so how can a lawyer respond to it when it's simply unknown? There is an unconfirmed but leaked report that this is about whether or not to consider Press TV an agent of the Iranian government and propaganda. Now, the word propaganda actually just means information. The Vatican has a ministry of propaganda. Many countries still have ministries of propaganda. But in the Second World War, they changed the word propaganda to mean false information. And of course, the British changed their name of their department to the Department of Information. So it's essentially information. And what I would submit is that every single media outlet in the world has some bias or other, whether it's their bias to the owners or people who are a major part of, you know, the American and military industrial complex, whether they are supported by a government. And there are lots of news agencies that are supported by governments, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, the BBC, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. The United States government also has agencies that, you know, Information America, Voice of America, things like this. These are all funded by the American government and do act as mouthpieces for the government for their point of view. But even like the mainstream media, the New York Times, Washington Post, you know, Miami Herald, Chicago Tribune, Los Angeles Times, these all reflect a financial and cultural bias that is very rare that they will take on the government. You can't get alternative viewpoints into the mainstream press. It's extremely rare. There is an active alternative press in the United States, but 95% of Americans never see of this or not even aware that it exists. They don't get the opinions. And there also is protection in the Fifth Amendment against, self-incrimination. Now, it's been suggested that this may be a trap for Marzieh, because if she gives information that they think is false or she doesn't answer questions they want, they could allege that she's in fact giving false information and lying to the grand jury, and then they could prosecute her for that. But they could be setting traps, and again, she does not know what this whole proceeding is about. So it's very irregular. And of course, the denial of her access to halal food, the taking away of her hijab, trying to get her to eat pork for Pete's sake, all of these should be seen as terrible embarrassments for the United States, but clearly are a violation of the law and the Bill of Rights in the United States, and also all sorts of provisions that prevent discrimination on the basis of religion or race. And of course, she is a Black American. She's been doing work on Black Lives Matter, and this may also be offending some elements in the United States government. Certainly the Trump administration is no fan of that. And while it's not clear who is really behind this, it clearly is, as I said, it's a major propaganda or public relations disaster, but it's a clear violation of American law, and there should be lawsuits against the government and how they've handled her, and in terms of protecting her religious rights, her freedom of speech, and of course, you know, the elements that constitute cruel and unusual punishment, like solitary confinement, the shackles, the handcuffs, etc. These are all things that are a clear breach of American law I don't think there's any basis whatsoever that justifies that.
Thank you very much, Mr. Edward Corrigan. Now, before we continue this discussion, political commentator Media Benjamin believes that the detention of Marzia Hashemi is a mystery, as she is being held behind bars without any charges. Let's listen to what she had to say.
Journalism has become a very dangerous business to be in. And there are committees that are been set up, like the Committee to Protect Journalists, that have documented the deaths and disappearances and locking up of journalists. And the United States, that goes around the world accusing others of the mistreatment of journalists, then turns around and does the same thing in the case of Marzia Hashemi. It's something that the whole world should be speaking out against. She could be called into the court if indeed there is something that she knows about, but there's no reason to be keeping her locked up like a criminal. And there are no criminal charges against her. So why she is being locked up is a mystery, and certainly appears to be retaliation for her work as a journalist in Iran.
Well, that was Media Benjamin and her take of Marzia's situation. Now, back to Mr. Corrigan. Mr. Corrigan, we understand that according to U.S. law, any prisoner should have the right to contact members of their family at least twice every day. Of course, these calls will be prepaid by the family members. Marzia has also been denied this right. She's not allowed to talk to her family members, despite the fact that they're also under a gagging order. They're not allowed to speak to the press. What are they afraid of?
Well, I think they're trying to create the illusion that somehow that she's a dangerous person and her ideas are dangerous and even criminal. They've said that this is a part of a criminal investigation. And to me, if this is a criminal investigation, it can't be used that those terms to characterize an investigation of Press TV or any organization that might be perceived to be an agent of the Iranian government. I think there's many organizations and media outlets that clearly could qualify as agents of the Israeli government, AIPAC, et cetera. So, you know, they have a huge amount of influence in the United States, yet they've never been considered, agents of Israel. And there was a big investigation in the 1960s headed by Senator William Fulbright, which was looking at this. William Church also investigated this in terms of, the role the Israeli government has in sort of controlling and promoting its interests in the United States and mobilizing the American Jewish community and, intervening in American politics. So this is, if Press TV is seen as an agent, AIPAC would be seen 100 times more as an agent of Israel, even though they've maintained that in fact it is not. So there are agencies and newspapers that put forward a particular line. And, you have the Saudi Arabia funding various agencies. Al Jazeera is funded by, the government of Qatar. And you have, I said, the Saudis have been funding anti-Iranian newspapers for quite a while. And there has been some controversy and discussion of that in England. But, you should allow people to, one, have the right to counsel, two, to have access to their family members more than two times a day. She's only had two calls that have communicated with her family, which is a breach of American law. And also, I think a public relations nightmare for the United States government, that they're treating her as this criminal. And this is not even remotely the case. So yes, they're violating the law. They're trying to protect an image of her and create an image that says that this American citizen, who's a 59-year-old grandmother, somehow constitutes a threat. And these are criminal proceedings that, while she's not charged, we're going to investigate her and hold her, and in the process, trample on her rights. And this is unacceptable.
Thank you very much, Mr. Corrigan. Now back to Mr. Paul LaRudy, joining us live from Berkeley. Now, Mr. Larudi, what is your take on the situation? Marzia is not being allowed to talk to her family members on the phone, despite the fact that based on U.S. law, of course, this has been so many times violated, it sounds ridiculous to even refer to that anymore. U.S. law, she should be able to talk to her family members twice every day, and she's been denied that right also, despite the fact that her family is under a gagging order.
Well, these are definitely draconian measures that are being applied, and they should be treated as exceptional. I wish they were more exceptional than they are, but even with the government saying that its only interest is to get testimony from Marzia and her son at this point, their practice on other occasions says exactly the opposite. It would not be the first time that someone is called to testify before a grand jury. And once the grand jury is finished and deliberates, they come out with indictments against some of the people who have testified in the grand jury. Even if a witness appeals to the Fifth Amendment against incriminating themselves, whatever testimony they give may be corroborated by another witness. It may lead to a further line of investigation. And in that line of investigation, they uncover things that can be used against the witness to indict the witness. So I wouldn't trust any of that. My lawyer, I've been interrogated many times. And the advice from my lawyer, in fact, more than one lawyer, but has always been, don't say anything. Don't say anything at all. Because whatever you say can and will be used against you. Even if you think it's totally innocent, they may find a way to use that information along with some other information that they have in order to accuse you of something. So this is my biggest fear with respect to Marzia and Hussein, the government will find something in what they say, and then with the addition of what someone else testifies to in the grand jury, they will issue charges against them.
Thank you very much, Mr. Paul Larudi, joining us live from Berkeley, and also Mr. Edward Corrigan, joining us live from Ontario. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time and your elaborations and insights on the situation of Marzia. We hope that she will be released very soon. It is the ninth day that Marzia is being kept in an FBI detention facility in Washington, D.C. without any charges. Thank you very much for watching.